Welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and as always, here's your co-host, Jim.
Heidi ho.
And we have two guests with us this week. If you recall, about a week or so ago, I posted a video on the website about a little indie game called The Wings of Saint Nazaire. I hope I said that right. And I liked the demo so much, I reached out to the folks behind the game to try and bring them on so we could talk to them about it. So with us tonight, we have artist and designer Howard Day.
Yo.
And musician Daniel Hoffman.
Hello.
And I said that right, guys? I mean, those are pretty simple names. I don't see how you can fuck them up, but...
Actually, you pronounced mine Shakira.
Oh, not Dai or anything?
It's Shakira.
Okay, Shakira. Well, welcome, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. I have to say, first off, right now your game is a tech demo, really. I got to admit that. But I really liked it. I like the tech. So I have quite a bit of questions about the current tech and where it's going. But first question is, if folks are unfamiliar, if they haven't seen the video, try and describe, tell the folks out there what's Wings of Saint Nazaire is.
You want to take this, Daniel, or shall I?
Well, it's your baby. You're the designer. I think you would be the best to explain.
All right. Well, Wings of Saint Nazaire is fundamentally at its core nostalgia bait. The idea is that I grew up on these old Wing Commander and X-Wing games, and I really loved them growing up. And, you know, what with the sort of diminishing of the space sim genre, that sort of thing just hasn't been around very much. And the stuff that is around just is really lacking, to my eye anyway, the atmosphere and world building that those games did. This game is my attempt to kind of get back into sort of that old pixel art, early 90s, mid 90s space combat games that I grew up with and I love so much, and trying to throw in some of the artistic skills and stuff that I've gotten over the years to try and make them look as good as I can.
Right. And you already said some of your inspiration, Wing Commander. I gotta say, this definitely has a Wing Commander 2-ish vibe to it, which I'm really digging, I gotta say.
I'm glad. That's definitely one of the stronger influences.
So the thing that I noticed in play in the demo, the large capital ships are a fully realized 3D model, right? But
Correct.
Then the other ships, the fighters that are flying around, do you have those like in the style of old Wing Commander where it's actually a pre-rendered flat bitmap that's out there that you rotate through or what?
What's going on? That is exactly what's going on there. And those are just sprite sheets. We're using significantly more sprites than the old Wing Commander games did, and
sure.
Higher resolution. But that is exactly the same tech.
That's awesome, because I really loved. Now, one thing I loved is about the capital ships is you can fly through and you can fly inside them. And I also love the lighting effects you have on some of them.
Yeah.
Now, this is being done in Unity, right?
Correct.
I don't know if I've seen a Unity game this pretty. What are you doing to Unity to make it look so good?
Well, honestly, not that much. The shaders on the ships are pretty simple. All the lighting on the ships is baked in. We bake that lighting information in 3D Studio Max. The reasons for that are that it gives us a lot more control. We can edit it in Photoshop and, you know, tune the levels and all that sort of thing. So all the engine, all Unity has to do is display a model with an unlit texture on it. So it's not straight in Unity any to display those ships at all. And kind of all the magic is sort of pre-made and just served up through Unity.
Now, one thing I noticed that was interesting, I was flying around tonight, is I took some shots at my own fleet because why not? They're not going to do anything.
Yep.
And I noticed, like, the shield effect seems very location-based. Like, if you keep shooting, the shield effect is right where your guns hit, and then it, like, dissipates and you're hitting the hull. But if you move a little bit, you're hitting the shields again.
Yeah, that's something we're tuning. One thing to keep in mind is that the shields do regenerate.
Right.
So between shots, they might power back on slightly, and we haven't really gone in there and tuned too much of how the cap ships handle damage. They're basically just clones of the fighters right now, and the fighters only keep track of six quadrants of damage.
Okay.
So the shields cover the front and the back, and then there's armor, top, bottom, left, right, front, back.
Okay. Now those, you said six shield quadrants.
Well, two shield quadrants, front and back.
Oh, right. But, are you going to have control over those as the game matures? Okay.
Yeah. Because
right now the controls are pretty simple. There's just, you know, not that many of them.
Yep.
But that makes sense. But I was just wondering if that's going to be fleshed out, because it looked like there were like controls for shields and there were controls for power management. They weren't really there yet, but it looks like there were at least indicators for them.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have a very similar engine, shield, gun power arrangement as X-Wing and TIE Fighter did.
Oh, great, because that's like the pinnacle of, really. I mean, yeah. Free Space made it the best, really, but that's where it got started.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of... We're trying to ape a lot of what X-Wing did with things like turn radiuses and stuff like that, where giving you the tightest turn you can make at like a third of your throttle. One of the things we're kind of trying to do is make it so... One of the things that was really fun in Wing Commander is blasting out of a dangerous situation on Afterburner.
Right.
And it really made you feel like you were in a powerful ship. X-Wing never had that. You could just go maximum throttle and then dump all your energy into your engines.
That's true.
There wasn't an immediate kick. There wasn't a oh shit moment. Like, there was a procedure you had to follow in order to get out of that situation, which has its own, you know, it has its own draws, but I always really loved the immediate kick of, like, lighting off the afterburners and either chasing after somebody or getting the hell out of dodge.
Yeah, and like in X-Wing and TIE Fighter, they only added that to what, the missile boat, I think, right? That slam engine, right? Remember that?
Once.
It was just that one thing, and you couldn't use it very often, and it wasn't insanely effective, but the missile boat was boring anyway. Speaking of ships, right now there's only a fighter. Will you be able to fly other stuff?
Oh, yeah. We have on each side, this is at its core going to be a multiplayer game. On each side, there will be five fighters flyable. Kind of the way we're handling that breakup right now is, of the five, three will be along kind of a scale of fighters, going from very light and fast to very heavy and slow. And then there will be two specialty ships. So right now what you're playing in the alpha build is the middle of the road version of the fighter. It's the medium fighter. The light fighter is actually to the build on our end. I've got the video and stuff out there on the animated GIFs out on the web forums, and it is utter dynamite to fly around in. You feel like it's going to be an artist ship. It's really like somebody's going to be able to just wreak havoc with that thing. But it's not, you know, if they.
I got to say, the fighter. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say the fighter in your game looks like, what is it, the Ferret?
Oh, really?
From Wing Commander 2, that first really light fighter that you fly with some steroids.
Oh, yeah.
Added to it, which is a good thing.
Yeah. So when I built that, I was trying to mix the X-Wing and the Raptor from Wing Commander 1. With a little bit of battles.
Oh, okay.
The Viper thrown in there.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, it's hard to make original ship design.
Now, Daniel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know. They're all the same. Now, Daniel, I gotta say, I really dig the music, both in the menu and in the mission a little bit. I also dig the explosion sound effects when the fighters blow up. I really like that. How much work are you putting into the music, and what are the inspirations for it?
Well, I'm working a lot on just kind of narrowing down the sounds to the sounds I want. So right now I feel like I'm still kind of free-form molding the music into what I want it to be. So a lot of work is just going into that and finding the sound or the voice for the game. And what was the other part of the question?
And I just said how much I enjoy the explosion sound effects.
Oh yeah, I've actually not worked on the sound effects side. Howard wants me to start working on those, but I'm not actually sure what he put into to make those sounds. I've just been doing straight music mainly.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing sound too. I'm sorry. So then, Howard, what went into those explosion sound effects? Because they're nice and meaty, I think.
Oh, thanks. Honestly, a lot of Google. Searches for explosion effects and that sort of thing. I basically have a library now of about 200 or 300 different sound effects along those lines that I sort of just mix and match.
Okay.
Speed them up, speed them down, or slow them down, you know, change the pitch. I think most of the fighter explosions are 4 or 5 layers of other sound effects that are kind of just, you know, different types of explosions. Like, I like to use this propane explosion that kind of has a ring to it.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, hear that. Yeah.
It's used, actually, there's one place where it's used and it's by its lonesome, and that's just as your fighter launches. It's the sound of the catapult hook hitting your front landing gear, and it sounds like metal striking metal, and just an explosion of power. It's a really cool sound effect. I love it far too much.
I wanted to ask about the takeoff sequence, because I really dig it. That's when I started. That's when I was watching. I was like, ooh. Like, one thing I love is how your canopy comes down and then slides into place.
Yeah.
I really dig that. But is it just me, or is the launch tube, is that a fully 3D render, or is that like just 2D pictures? It looks 3D.
It's 2D pictures.
Oh, wow. Good job, because it looks 3D when you're flying through it. They look like actual girders and stuff.
That's a callback from the original Wing Commander 1 that just had, like, a series of transparent planes that you flew through. But it looked like a launch bay. So I was like, I really like that. I'm going to try and do that. And right now there's a bug that, as you're flying out, if you look towards the bottom of the screen as you leave the hangar, you can see through the floor. That'll get fixed.
I did not notice that. That's like that bit in Firefly. You guys have seen Firefly, right?
Fire what?
Yes. In the first episode, when they're escaping from the Reavers, there's a moment where, after they get away, if you look, Wash is not holding anything.
Yeah.
That kind of reminded me of that. He's like, his hands are in midair.
Yep.
But you're not supposed to see that, because you're supposed to be looking somewhere else.
Right, exactly.
So that reminded me of that, because I never look down when I'm launching. I'm always like, ooh, launch bay.
Well, it's in there. If you play it again, you'll see it. I think it's actually even in your video that you posted, your walkthrough. I
wouldn't be surprised. There are a few things I missed in there, like, the afterburner key. I felt like an idiot.
It's all right. We need to put stuff like that in an actual, like, animated little thing that shows you what buttons do what, because we're kind of building this with the idea that we're going to support multiple control schemes simultaneously, so
right.
Keyboard, mouse, you know, controller. But we're trying to make it as simple as possible, and things like, you know, maneuvering. Well, there doesn't need to be another key for afterburn. I mean, you can accelerate, and if you double-tap accelerate, that just makes sense. It does make sense.
Yeah, you know, no, totally.
And the barrel rolls side to side, double tapping left and right to get out of the way. Again, these are all evasive maneuvers. There will be eventually an emergency brake in reverse that fires forward thrusters.
Like, oh, nice.
And that's just going to be double tapping brake. We're trying to make it all as intuitive as possible. So it's natural to just kind of do it and not really think too much about it.
Now, sticking with the engine stuff, I noticed that right now there doesn't seem to be a lead indicator or a lock indicator for your missiles.
Correct.
Are those going to be added, or are we just going to fly by the seat of our pants here?
Well, the lead indicator is going to be based per ship. Some
okay.
Some won't.
Oh.
And It'll probably end up being that the lighter fighters will end up having it, because you need it. Just because of the speed you're moving at, you can't guesstimate it. But the bigger ones are more they're more like almost artillery platforms. So you're not going to get into a turning battle in, say, the human heavy fighter, the Cobra, because you'll lose. You can't do that. It's got the turning speed of a hippo. You just can't do that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So in the human bomber, which is one of the specialty ships, will have turrets that you just have to trust to let take care of it.
Oh, I see. Kind of like the one of my favorite ships, actually, the broadsword in Wing Commander 2.
You're right. Yes. You will enjoy the fact that the Hognose, which is what the human bomber is called, has three guns. Like, I know.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Yep. That's another thing I loved about the broadsword. Just besides how tough it was. It was such a tough beast of a thing.
It is. It also has four torpedoes, exactly like the broadsword does. But
you're making me so happy right now.
I know. There's a I love these games, and as much as what I'm doing is trying to somewhat improve on them, it's all out of love. I mean, I'm not going to try and replace them. I'm just mimicking the parts I really enjoyed and trying to make them a little prettier.
Now, you said you wanted multiplayer to be a big part of this. There is going to be single player too, I hope, right?
Yes. We have, I say we, it's mostly me at this point because I've just not gotten down to sending it out to everybody else. There is a story. There is an overarching story. And the single player is one of the things that we want to do is take it to another level and pull in two genres that I really love, which are space combat and adventure games.
Huh.
So when you're flying, it's X-Wing and Wing Commander, but when you're landed on your carrier, it's Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and Full Throttle.
So I think it would be really nice if you went into like a dark room in the carrier and got eaten by a Gru, or actually the enemies that you're facing are Grus, and they will kill and eat you.
I'll give you a little preview. There's already a dark room that you walk into. We've got a basically the beginning of the storyline is after the whole intro runs and everything else, you wake up on a basically destroyed space carrier after a night of massive battle and a retreat action. And you pull yourself out of bed and you've got transfer orders because the war is still on and they need you on a different carrier, which turns out to be the Saint-Nazaire. And you have two other pilots that you're supposed to transfer with, and one of the first puzzles is go find these two other pilots. And you find one of them drinking in his quarters, and you go to the other guy's quarters, and you open the door, and it's dark inside, and you turn on the light, and he's humming some. Because the reason this was a retreat action is they were abandoning a planet, and his whole family died, and he just didn't want to deal with it anymore, so he killed himself. So we're setting this really dark tone right from the beginning.
Jesus!
Yeah. Yeah, so you have to then go back up to the transport and tell the pilot of that transport why there's only two of you.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, you are actually pretty lucky in that your family managed to get out. And that is actually one of the things we're trying to put in there is a really strong connection between you and your family. Like, it's not, like, in the adventure portion, one of the things you'll be doing is trying to assist the civilian population in fighting back as well. And towards the end of the game, if we ever get this far, this is a big plan of mine, but if we ever get this far, it's going to be one of those things where the more you're able to help the civilians and like these exiles of the planet that was abandoned at the very beginning, the more of a big damn heroes moment you'll have at the very end when shit's going down.
Shit's coming down.
So
I love it.
Yeah. So the adventure portion is always we're very clearly trying to show the transfer between these two modes, and it's all based around when you climb into the cockpit. it's first person when you climb into the cockpit and start the mission. You land and you get out of the cockpit, and there's no transition there. Like, your ship lands on the deck, the cockpit opens, you crawl out of it, and you can walk around. That's the goal.
Nice.
So there's the cinematics are all at the point of transition between those two game modes. So they feel natural.
So the story won't just be forwarded by the what happens in the missions, but the adventure portions in between.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Like, if you're able to say, steal a simulation chip from the back of one of the simulators in the break room and get it to your wife, and then she starts training the civilian pilots. Well, in the end mission, not only are the pilots showing up going to be significantly more badass, there's going to be more of them. And their speed is going to be higher. I mean, I don't want to give away too much. I've already feel like I've given away too much, but it's we're trying to make it based on your actions, and some of them aren't going to be obvious. Like, there's just going to be small things that you can do that aren't really going to be called out, but will be kind of what we're trying to push you towards the right air quote thing to do.
Right.
That if you figure out how to do them. You'll have to go out of your way a little bit, but if you do them, they'll make a huge impact to the end battle and how it turns out. And, I mean, kind of the tuning on this that we got to do is to make sure that it's not too much of a difference. Like, we basically want, if you don't manage to do anything right, like, you just completely screw up the entire adventure game portion, you still have a chance. In the end battle, like, there, you'll be outnumbered, but there's a chance. If you're still a really good pilot, there's a chance. We're just going to make it easier for you the more things you get right.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking at your website, and I see one of these little images looks like a planetary mission. Are you going to be able to fly around above the surface of planets?
Yes. It's going to be very similar to... God, I'm referencing another game. You guys remember the original Comanche game, Helicopter Sim?
Oh, of course. Yeah, with the voxels and everything.
We originally had planned on making our terrains voxel terrains.
Yeah.
We couldn't really do it with Unity in any sort of elegant way, so we ended up doing polygons with pixelated textures, which looks almost as good. But, yes, you're going to be limited into, I think the area right now is 100 by 100 miles.
Oh, wow.
Which, space fighter speeds is still pretty small, but,
right. Yeah,
we have one planet in there working right now. Doesn't have an atmosphere or clouds or anything, but that stuff's pretty easy to add.
Oh, wow. So I guess there'll be like an atmosphere mode where when you're flying in the atmosphere, it'll feel different. The fighter will feel different.
Yeah.
Like, won't turn it a dime like it does in space, for example.
Yep. And your afterburning speed is reduced because you're basically flying through soup.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Your weapons there's a lot of different differences. Like, some weapons won't even work. One of the primary weapons on the Copperhead, which is the medium fighter that you fly right now, is called the L-Pack. That is a linearly accelerated copper gun, and it basically... go ahead.
Is it the blue one or the orange one?
It's the orange one that's rapid fired. The blue one's just like a laser, you know, it's stable. But sort of the... Yeah, I know, I'm sorry.
I just thought that'd be... that's the only way I would know. I can't tell the names.
Oh, but it says the names. As you switch them, it'll tell you what...
I can't remember that.
I thought you were looking at screenshots. No, anyway, the fiction behind that is they're small copper rods, like pencil lead, accelerated up to about 0.4 of the speed of light, fired up in front of your ship. And these things are dangerous enough and just horrible enough that they basically will punch through armor like chewing through butter. That's a horrible analogy, and I want to apologize for it. But
chewing through Velveeta. Yeah, I used to eat Velveeta as a child.
Oh, yeah, I still do. Doctor tells me no, but I can't help
I know, it's so good. It's so bad. It's so good.
Exactly. Anyway, so it won't work in atmosphere because anything going that fast will hit too many atmospheric particles and it'll just vaporize. Like, the second it leaves your gut, it's just a fireball. If you try and use it in atmosphere, you're basically using a flamethrower. So the entire version of the gun is way different. So you basically have in space a machine gun, and on the planetary surface, it's a flamethrower. But the physics of it check out. Like, it makes sense the way it
works. No, it totally makes sense. You're right. That totally makes sense.
So that's one way we're looking to try and differentiate between the two.
So what kind of missions for the single player are we talking about here?
Well, actually, pretty much similar to the multiplayer. We're going to have as few escort missions as possible, because Nick likes those.
Thank you. My God, no one likes... There have been a few space sims that have come out recently that, like, rely on that a little too much.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to say names, but Soul Exodus and Strike Suit Zero that rely on protecting a fucking ship a little too much.
Yeah.
Oh, like, everybody loves an escort mission, especially if you have to shoot down incoming bombs. That's the one that we like.
Or if you have to shoot incoming torpedoes and you have one target key, so you have to cycle through fucking everything on the fucking battle. No, I'm not bitter.
Okay, so one thing on that note, on the right now, the targeting thing will select the nearest enemy.
Right.
What we're going to do is we're going to make that a very similar functionality to the maneuvering keys. If you tap it once, it selects the nearest enemy. If you tap it again, quickly, it'll cycle through. And if you tap it while something's underneath your reticle, it'll target that.
Ooh.
So it's situational and relative to what you're actually doing at any given time.
I like the sound of that. I was actually going to ask about that because... Targeting commands in games are a big, like, if it's wrong, it's a big pet peeve of mine. And the two I just mentioned, they don't really get it right, and it pisses me off to no end. So I'm really happy to hear that not only is thought being put into that, but it sounds like it's being made quite efficient.
Well, again, we're trying to put this and let people use just straight up joysticks and controllers, and real estate is real limited, so we got to be smart about how we assign these things.
That's true.
We were originally going to have some sort of hat switch operation to look around the cockpit, and it's cool, but it's a lot of extra artwork, and we couldn't figure out how to fit it on the controller and actually have it be fully functional. So instead we added the orbit camera, which is one key and actually... gives you a much better idea of the physical locations of objects around you.
It really does. I like how simple that is. I mean, you hit it, you pan around with your mouse, and you just get a quick view of what's going on.
Yep.
And that's it. Now, speaking of panning around, there's in the demo, there's a giant ship, giant, massive, massive.
Yep.
Is that like an enemy? I mean, what is that?
That is what we're calling an alien battle carrier. There are three of those that you'll come up against in the course of the single-player story, and only one of them will ever be able to be destroyed by direct action. The other two are destroyed by trickery, because they are fucking gigantic. I'm sorry, I didn't know if we... Can we swear? I apologize.
I fucking swear up a storm. We don't. Okay. This is.
I mean, realized. I'm sorry. I'm sure I've been doing it before, but
don't even apologize. I my girlfriend says my filter is set on Philadelphia, which is where I'm from. So yeah, I swear a lot. What? So don't worry about it.
All right. Well, then I'll turn mine off entirely. Anyway, so these things, like right now, you're able to get right up next to them and sort of fly along the surface and see kind of how cool and detailed they are. You're never going to be able to want to, or with one exception, you're never going to be able to get that close. They are deadly. Like, if you're even in the same area as one of those things, you're going to want to run. we're basically, those things are tiny little omnidirectional Death Stars. You just do not want to be around them.
Jesus.
Yeah, the final battle is the effort to take down one of those things, and it will take every ship the humans have to even dent it.
Oh, wow.
And
I believe it, because I was just flying over it, and I was like, holy crap, this is huge.
It's about 4 kilometers long.
Ooh.
Yeah. The human ship is 600 meters.
Or that's about, half the size of a Super Star Destroyer, I think?
Yeah, just about.
It's just still pretty fucking huge.
Yeah. That thing is by far the biggest texture we're loading in the game, and it's actually two identically scaled textures. They're 4096 by 4096, and it does each one does a half of the ship. It's just gigantic. And if I could load up 8,192 by 8,192s, I'd totally do it.
Oh my god.
I wish, but video cards just don't believe in that sort of thing.
Oh god, I can't even imagine. Now, I wanted to ask, because in the demo, you fly out of the Saint Nazaire on its side, and it looks like in the back that's where you fly in when you're done.
Yes.
But you can't do that right now.
No, we don't have that hooked up. I remember you calling that out in the first look or quick look, and yeah, that is something we'll be adding. And that's the moment, like as you're flying towards the front of the ship, that's the moment where it transitions from inside your ship to outside, and you see the ship land, and then you crawl out as a human being and get to run around the Saint Nazaire.
I like that.
So. We're focusing our sort of transition of gameplay modes at those points of entering and exiting your space carrier.
Now, question about that, like to land, this might seem like a silly question, but I love this sort of thing. To land, will you just pull in and you're done, or do you have to call them and request to land and that sort of thing?
Which one do you think I'd go for? Because it's going to be the second.
Probably the second. Well, I wanted to make sure because I love that sort of thing. Because I love having being able to have a communication system where you can do stuff like that and also taunt your enemies.
Oh yeah. Well, part of the multiplayer game too is we're gonna have you can communicate however you like between you and your squad mates, but when it comes to taunting the enemy team, which is going to be other human players, you can only communicate to them through that system. So you get to write out whatever taunts you want and put them in your little communications thing and then trigger them with the same old Wing Commander, communicate, and then you have your 4 taunts that you can use. And you get to customize that. And I'm sure we'll do some sort of word search for really offensive stuff and disagree with it. But fundamentally, we want to let people really feel like they're able to, crawl into these cockpits and make them their own.
Now the ships will be. Are you saying the ships will be customizable?
That is something we talked about. If this thing ever goes commercial, and I should be clear right now, it's not. It's going to be completely free. If it does, one of the things we've looked at is having little touches that you can add to your cockpit,
Christmas tree air fresheners.
Yes, or dozen dice, or little hula girls, or pictures of loved ones, or you'll have a shot glass balanced on your dashboard, or whatever you want to. I mean, it's there's a lot of opportunity there for customization, and I don't know. It's something we've looked into as being one of those neat little touches, and we want to put it in there as a touch that blends in with everything else. We don't want it to feel really obtrusive.
Right.
So, yeah. Ideally, that is something we'd want to add, but again, it's going to depend a lot. Like, that's sort of... Oh, man, I feel like we should have the enemy ships being pursued by friendly fighters first.
So, in multiplayer, what kind of modes are we going to be able to play? Is it going to be like deathmatch? Is there going to be like capture the flag? I mean, what are we talking about?
This is where it gets interesting. I'm a huge fan of Team Fortress 2.
Okay.
I play the absolute crap out of that game. And I love the mode where it's a multi-stage capture point, where it's a territorial battle.
Oh, okay.
So... One of the things we're looking at doing is not just doing straight mission modes, like, okay, this is just a death match, or this is just to capture the flag, or in this case, you know, capture the asteroid, whatever. This, or you know, data package, however, whatever you want to put in there as the flag. We're looking at making these things, the multiplayer missions, multi-stage and branching. So, branching multi-stage missions. So, the first mission will be a simple patrol deathmatch. Everybody launches out of their carrier. They have a couple of navigational points they have to go to, and they have to clear those points of enemy fighters. And that's the mission victory parameters, is did you destroy all the enemy fighters? And the winner of that mission, you know, humans or aliens, go, and that branches into two options. And the next two missions will be two completely different things. One will be an asteroid raid, and the other one will be an escort mission, where one of the players is actually being the thing that's escorted. You know, or at least there's the option for that. You can give it to the AI, or you can do it yourself. And then based on those two missions, whichever one wins, we split to three options. And one of them is a total victory, or two of them are total victory, and one of them is, it's kind of gone back and forth. And then those will be three completely different missions. And then based on those, we split off again into the final sort of cinematic that says, okay, this side won, or this side won, or whatever it is. But based on that, we'll have nine or six missions total in this structure, but the variety of things that can happen in the course of that encounter is huge.
Hmm.
So this is something that it's untested. All we have are spreadsheets. All we have are ideas. It's something we really want to try and do. I think it could be a lot of fun and keep people coming back because... I mean, one of the things that was so cool about the original Wing Commander is it did have branching missions. The whole thing, you could lose
right.
The game. You could fight the whole way through that game and lose. And I don't think Wing Commander 2 did that, but Wing Commander 3 did. And it was always a really cool element of it because, I mean... If you lost a mission, well, you didn't just reload your save. You're done. You lost that mission. You need to move on. I mean, sure, you could reload the save if you wanted to, but that always felt like cheating to me.
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
You don't want to save scum.
No. But in a multiplayer setting, we eliminate that temptation altogether because you're playing with other people. There is no option to save and reload. And, I mean, it's a lot... another example would be the Team Fortress 2's payload mode, where you have three different areas, and each time you have three different chances to get this payload up a rail system and blow up their base. And depending on how well each side is doing, they can get all the way to the end, the last mission, and lose.
Oh.
So that's kind of what we're trying to do here. Now, again, I have no idea if it's going to work. I have... just the hope that it will.
No, that sounds pretty damned awesome. And so the single player, I'm guessing, will be branching as well.
Yeah, it'll be a little bit more directed. We're gonna branch off at specific points, rather than giving each mission the option of win and fail. And then having two completely different outcomes from that. Mostly because it's just too much content otherwise. But if we do four branches, that's manageable. And it's
right.
Still makes it feel like that's four different, or sorry, eight different endings. And if we sort of intermingle those, we can get that down to four or five different endings. And that's what I was talking about with the whole... you know, you arrive at the final battle and depending on how well you've done in other things, you know, you may have some backup in the form of a massive civilian fleet, or you may have some backup in the form of one ship flown by your wife. And that's it. And good luck. Try not
to.
But again, it's totally dependent on how well you do previously with that. So... it would suck to come all that way and then die, but, I mean, maybe you should have tried harder and helped your wife out more.
So beyond the crazy sounding single player and the fun multiplayer, will there be like modding capability or mission creation capability to keep adding legs to this thing?
It's a good question. I don't know. I think it'll depend almost entirely on the demand. And since the whole game is put together with Unity, I don't really see any reason why not, because Unity could just, I mean, the parts that make up the missions could just be done in the free version of Unity that you just download. They don't really need to be the pro version that we're using. So, because the pro versions, the stuff we're using it for is all visual. It's just the visual stuff. Setting it up so that there's some sort of export process, it's probably not going to be super intuitive. You'll probably need to know Unity at least a little bit in order to do it, but I could definitely see that as being an opportunity.
That's awesome. Because, yeah, I'm a big fan of extendability.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, I mean, there's always the possibility that we'll, and I have to keep coming back to Team Fortress 2, but, I mean, even having other people go, hey, this would be really cool to have in there, and we just put it in. I mean, that's fine. I mean, that's still the same level of stuff going in, and we can make sure it doesn't break anything else, and make sure the visual style's all consistent. That's another possibility. And maybe even having some sort of monthly poll on what next mission do you want to see? One in an asteroid belt, or what next to the surface of the sun? You know, player's choice.
I'm kind of hoping that enemy ships actually drop components that you can then craft into hats. Because
that's good. I think we're going to have to take that now. I need to see these little alien fighters flying around wearing fedoras.
I forgot that is a thing in Team Fortress 2, isn't it?
It is.
I want my fighter to have a top hat and a monocle.
And you'll change your pilot's name to Mr. Peanut.
I want what are those hats the old newsboys used to wear? I want one of those on my fighter.
Oh, a page boy? No. The cabbie hats, those guys, right?
Yeah. I can't freaking remember what they're called. I've always liked those.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, it sounds like with this engine, you could do that.
Yeah, you could. You could. It'd look ridiculous, but, you know, who cares? It'd be awesome. Maybe for April Fool's, we'll enable hat mode.
So when you're not working on this game, are you guys playing any space games of late?
No, not so much. I played through the Wing Commander Saga game, which was released by a bunch of friends of mine over on WCNews.com.
You know those guys?
Yeah, I talk to them all the time.
Oh.
I'm actually pretty active over there on those forums. They know me fairly well. Yeah.
Because that's a fantastic, fantastic bit of coding right there.
Oh, yeah. Those guys are crazy. HCL is ridiculous. That guy he's one of the guys who helped reverse engineer that whole engine. That guy is brilliant. Scary smart. Like, I half think he's taking over the world behind everybody else's back.
Yeah, because that project is just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
With the Wing Commander love.
Yeah, it is.
I haven't finished it. How did it turn out?
I really liked it. It gets really hard. It is very, very faithful to kind of the Wing Commander 2 era of games. But it does it in a way that, while being very faithful, I feel like, and this is not to speak ill of those guys that did amazing work, I wish they had changed some of the stuff rather than been as accurate as they were. And it's mostly things like projectile speeds feel really slow. So, I mean, you fire off a round of mass driver rounds, and it takes forever and a day for them to get anywhere near the target. And it really, it takes me out of the experience, because I feel like firing cannon shells from a pirate ship. Like, that's how slow these things are moving. And I wish they had kind of sped that up to be a little bit more immediate. But again, that's a pet peeve. I love the work they've done. I played it all the way through. It was great.
Yeah, I need to finish it. I'm a little way into it right now, but I've got so much on my plate. There's so much coming out. Oh, my God.
It's oh,
crazy.
I said Wing Commander Saga, didn't I?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
No, I played that one. I haven't played it all the way through, though. That one, I do know those guys. It's the, I can't remember the name. I'm a horrible Space Fighter fan. Hold on. It's,
You mean the Battlestar Galactica one?
No. It's a Wing Commander one, but it's not Saga. Saga was done with the Free Space Engine.
Right.
This one was done using a reverse engineering of the Wing Commander Prophecy Engine, or more accurately, this.
I'm not sure I'm familiar with that one, surprisingly.
Can't remember the name of it. It's, hold on. Let me go find it.
I'm kind of fascinated now.
Yeah, no, it's great. It is, when I was talking about projectile speeds, like, yeah, the Saga guys did it right. That's fine. You know, that was fine. I'm sure you guys were like, what the heck is he talking about? But, no, it's, man, I feel terrible. I can't remember. Standoff. Wing Commander Standoff.
What's that?
It is exactly what I said. It's a refactoring / rewriting of the Wing Commander Prophecy engine to be a whole new game.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Set during the Wing Commander 2 era, and you get to fly a lot of those old fighters, but it's just that they rewrote a lot of the Prophecy engine to work on modern video cards. And it's
boom.
And, you know.
Oh, so okay. I'm looking at the website right now. So it looks like you you download Secret Ops, which was pretty much, and then you add this. It's like a mod onto Secret Ops.
Yep, that's exactly it, and it just this whole new game.
I have to be honest. I have never heard of this, which is surprising because I tried to hear of everything.
Well. These guys started work on this, and this is kind of where admission time comes through on my part. This is not the first Space Fighter game I've worked on.
Okay, cool.
There have been two or three now that have not gone anywhere, mostly because I was just the artist. I didn't take any responsibility for coding it.
Right.
And so I would go in and do a bunch of artwork. It looked very pretty or mostly pretty, whatever, take your pick. And it would never turn into an actual game. And I would rely on somebody else to put it into an actual game engine or write a game engine. And the people I was working with to do that never had as much time as I did, and it never really went anywhere. So there is one that I was working on. I started working on it in 2004 called Wing Commander Pioneer, which was supposed to be a prequel / early days version of Privateer. And it's all over that Wing Commander, or WCNews.com. If you type in Pioneer into that search engine, it's all over that. You'll see tons of artwork. There's old threads and stuff on their forums. Before that, there was a game called Black Widow, which is very much this game that I'm making now, but I was 1998, so I had no skill whatsoever, so it was an attempt, but not a particularly good one. And a lot of sort of the thoughts that I had from that game are being moved over to Wings of Saint Nazaire, but the difference now is that I can actually do coding, at least somewhat, and that's moving things along. Because Jam's the primary on that. He's the architect of all the major systems. But when it comes to things like programming the system that handles how all the little computers and stuff in your cockpit start up. You know, I did that because he didn't have time and I wanted to see how it would look, so I just did it. And it's turning out to be way more effective than just having one person doing the programming, is to have two on completely different sides of the planet, even.
Right.
So
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry I'm talking your ear off.
No, that's why you're here, man. Stop it. I'm just surprised that I have to look up this Pioneer thing.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised I don't have WC News in my list of RSS feeds.
Yes.
I'm a horrible person.
They're awesome. Those guys are great.
Oh no, I love the site. I'm a huge fan. There's no question.
It does. Those guys. I don't think anybody loves anything more than those guys love Wing Commander.
I'm not too fond of them having links to being able to buy the movie. I mean, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
We got the inside scoop on the movie straight from the man. So really? You know, we can forgive him for that one.
You guys talked to Roberts about that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I grilled him out on.
Nice.
Yep. That was episode 4. Yeah. So we were lucky to catch a big fish really early on.
Wow. No joke. I wish I got to talk to that guy.
I can give you a Skype very, if you don't tell him where you got it.
Do not.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it.
He's very gracious. We hope to talk to him again after the ships are flyable.
Oh,
okay. In Star System. Have you guys backed that, by the way? Are you guys backers of Star System?
I did. I got one of the dual packs so I can fly with my brother. But yeah.
Nice.
I'm still not entirely kidding. And this is going to sound like sacrilege, but I'm particular about what my artwork looks like, and I'm not 100% behind their shit yet. But God, is it pretty!
I was telling Jim this before the podcast that did you see the Gamescom video of the hangar reveal? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, after they showed that, I bought another ship or two.
Nice.
I couldn't stop myself. I couldn't. They were so pretty, and you could walk around them.
Well, our hangar doesn't let you walk around your ships. Well, it does, but they're all from an adventure game standpoint.
I'm not trying to be compare here.
I'm acknowledging their massive superiority in this, that's all.
They have probably a much larger budget. I mean, they just passed $16 million, for Christ's sake, in crowdfunding.
I can only dream of those numbers.
God.
I mean, so, sort of, I don't know how much I can say about this, but I'm going to go for it, and if I get in trouble, then that's on my own damn head.
Okay.
I work for Zynga.
Oh.
I'm a senior artist over there.
Okay. I've heard it's a little rocky over there right now.
A little bit. I had some friends I'd worked with for 10 years get let go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, but I still like working there. They're great people. It's just, you know, the business model, you know, needs some adjustment. And I think they're well on their path to doing it. But But I've kind of got this, the Wings of Saint Nazaire kind of in my back pocket is the contingency plan. Like, if that does go wrong, then this is what I'm going to try and fall back on.
Mm.
And at that point, you're going to see a lot more work getting done on it, a lot faster, and it will probably, the single player portion will probably go up on either Kickstarter or Indiegogo at that point.
I was going to eventually ask you about possible crowdfunding.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to do it. I'm not looking to make any money off this at all while I'm employed with those guys. I'm not going to step on any toes. You know, it's all above board. I'm not being shady. I'm just kind of keeping my eye on the possibility that if everything goes sideways, which, you know, who knows, I've got an option there. And, I mean, it would be great for the game because so much more work could get done on it. The stuff that's gotten done on it so far has been done in the evenings or involved in the weekends. So, you know, if I had full time to work on this thing, don't know. I'd probably get tired of it, but man, I would get a lot more done.
I hear you. I feel the same way about the blog itself. Like, when I started the blog, I was unemployed, so I'm like, I'm going to put all this work into it. It's going to be amazing. And then I got a job, which, hey, yeah, I'm not knocking getting a job, but damn it, it cuts into my blogging time.
Yeah. Well, and I should be clear, I got no ill will towards Zynga. Those guys are amazing. They've been fantastic to me, so I entirely give them 100% of the time they pay for, and then when I'm done with that, I get to have a little time in the evenings to work on this. So they know about it. This is not done below board or anything else like that. When I was hired on, I claimed this as a prior invention, so you know, it's something they've been well aware of. So yeah.
Well, and you're not competing with one of their properties either.
No, and not on any space that they are they're releasing games on at all. Unless you count browser games, which since it's playable in the Unity web browser plugin, maybe.
So does this mean you might hook up the web version of Wings of Satan is there to Facebook and start asking people to mine dilithium for your carriers?
Yeah.
And sorry, I couldn't stop myself.
And every 2 hours, you'll have to log back in and click on your little workers to make...
Son of a bitch!
I know. It wasn't going to happen until you mentioned it, but it's such a good idea, I can't resist.
Shit!
Yeah.
Fuck!
Yeah.
That's cool. So, so Daniel, what are you doing your day job?
Oh, I work as a pharmacy assistant, actually. So just
that's
dealing drugs, you know.
Daniel's that's okay. Cooler than mine.
No, yeah. That's okay. I'm on several medications for certain things. I appreciate the work you guys do and the people you have to put up with.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I go to Walgreens, it's like, oh, Jesus. Just let me get my stuff and go, please. This is terrible. I hate all of you. You really see some of the dregs of human society when you go to the pharmacy. Oh my god!
Yeah.
Well, I think this seems like a good place to wrap things up. Unless you guys have anything you'd like to add.
I think I've given away far too much and said far too much. Probably for the best to wrap it up. But I would like to invite anybody who hears this and has further questions or wants clarification, please post up on the forums. We've been fairly active up there. We'll get back to you as soon as we can.
And I'll be linking to the website in the podcast post itself, as well as this. I found it. I was while you were talking a little bit, I did some searching for the Pioneer.
Oh yeah.
Thing. So
just share links to one of my great chains. That'll be good.
Absolutely. No, this is nice stuff. I'm looking at some stuff from 2008. This, what is this thing? This, the Bengal. This Bengal fighter, which looks just really fantastic.
Is it a fighter? I think that's the Tiger's Claw from Wing Commander 1, remade in high res.
Oh, maybe I'm... Okay, wait. Oh, no, it's a Rallari. Revamped Rallari. That's what I'm...
Yeah.
It's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, the Bengal, that's the next post. Oh, the Bengal looks really nice, too.
Thanks.
Much, much bigger.
Yeah, that thing's huge.
Well, Howard, Daniel, I want to thank you so much for joining us. This has been a very fun and spirited discussion. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks, man. It was a pleasure being on here. And do you want one final tidbit of information that probably won't be...
I will take whatever you give me, man.
All right.
Hit me.
The length of the Wing Commander carrier is exactly the same length as the Saint Nazaire.
Okay, I'm going to really lose some credit here. What was the name of the Tiger's Claw?
Yep.
Duh. Frack. I can't believe I almost...
No, you saved it. You put it back to the brink.
I brought it around. I brought it back.
You retained third cred. Congratulations.
I could have really been in trouble there for a second if my brain didn't go, Brian, it's Tiger's Claw.
I think Chris Roberts would have lost your Skype on that one.
Not only that, he would have canceled all my Star System purchases.
Taking it to the next level.
Oh, he would have been very vindictive. Anyway, gentlemen, thank you. for joining us. It's been a really fun time. I'm really looking forward to seeing more about the game and really looking forward to getting more people interested in it. And I can't wait to see more. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been a blast.
All right.
It's been a pleasure.
Take it easy.
See you guys.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler. Sure thing.
I made sunshine down, but I see only one. Try to think I'm over you. I find I've just begun. The years move faster than the days. There's no warmth in the light. And how I miss those desert skies. You're